Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey fam,
episode 3, the show where me, Levins, and him, Angus, talk about movies and TV and comics and video games
while watching
the world's greatest television show.
We forgot to do it for episode 2 just because
and
we
that's why that
up.
Episode was a piece of shit.
That's why it's the dark episode. You'll go back and you'll listen, you'll be like, they were going through some dark, non-LA sun-soaked times.
It's the Empire Strikes Back of
this
hey
is going to be Return of the Jedi. There's going to be some small teddy bears. There's going to be a lot of brotherly and sister love.
We're currently watching the third episode of Entourage.
So far, Turtle's getting yelled at.
Classic Turtle.
He's pointing out that he's friends with Vince, so a pretty girl will come over. I mean,
and
it's just...
Not one person in the room knows that his real name is Sal.
It's just us.
I mean, how they managed to stretch that out for six seasons? I don't even know.
I think 6 seasons in a movie, last time I checked.
Is it true that at the very end of the Entourage movie, it's revealed that Turtle's actual name is Sloane?
Well, for once he takes his shirt off and you actually see a huge shell on his back and you're like, holy fuck. And then Vanilla Ice comes in. People start rapping and it just is, it's the world's best. You realize Ari was a Master Splinter character.
Yeah.
He's training them all.
And then after the post credits, Samuel L. Jackson shows up, yeah, and says,
hey,
have I told you
looking...
about the Ninja Turtles initiative?
Exactly. Boom. Coming summer 2017. And you know what? Thanks a lot, guys.
Fuck. I would love to watch a Ninja Turtles reboot where it's Michelangelo, Leonardo, Raphael, and then Turtle.
Yeah. Hey, wait up, guys.
Oh, man.
This Subway's so good.
I never get any pussy.
You're a turtle, bro. Baby, bro. But still, you know, voiced by Johnny Drama.
Let's begin this episode the same way we begin every episode.
You know what I want to say? We are being we're being featured on iTunes at the moment.
Oh, yeah. So we begin every episode by talking about our iTunes conquests.
Oh,
starting from this episode onwards.
So, yeah, come on. You know what? I hate when people say this, but come on, don't leave us a good review. Write something really stupid on our page. Just get the star rating up.
Yeah, review your favorite episode of Entourage.
Or pitch your ideal episode of Entourage. Like, give us a 20-second elevator pitch. Like, for example, Johnny Drama has an STD. Vince also has it. Turtle has to figure out which girl gave it to them. Ari finds out it's his niece, something like that.
And then Ben Stiller cameo.
Vince does the movie. Boom. I think that'd be amazing. It's going to be funny and creative. And what we'll do, we'll pick out the best one each week. I think that's going to be
really, really good idea.
Yeah.
If you haven't, you know, you've got, we'll have an hour of us talking. At some point, we're going to be talking about something not worth listening to. So just fire up iTunes, look up Hey Fam.
Yeah, it's not hard.
And
we've
actually got
pitch one
us
at
an
the
episode
moment.
Of Entourage.
We've got one, and it's from a guy called John084, and he said we're really good.
Yeah, we said we're nice boys.
We're nice boys, thank you.
Thanks, John.
You can take us home to your mom. You know, this podcast is generally mother-friendly, I think.
Hmm.
So,
provided your mum is an Entourage fan, and more importantly, a Ballers fan.
All right, so let's get the Ballers. I've realized 3 weeks into this quest of watching Ballers, it is kind of difficult to write a... Basically, there's no plot. So what I'm going to do is pick out really things that stuck out to me in the episode that still... If you were trying to convince someone you watched it, they would completely know.
For those who... This is your first episode of Hey Fam, and therefore your first episode of Ballers... Ballers is an HBO show
made by the guys who made Entourage.
And starring The Rock.
As pretty much The Rock.
A sports guy.
He plays a sport marketer agent, and he instead of getting Vince movie roles, he's trying to get young and upcoming football players money that he can look after and make sure they don't spend it all too much too soon, which I might think might be something that may have ruined his career.
Damn.
Which is, there's been hints at it, judging from the amount of pills he's popping when he's, you know...
On the phone.
When he's on the phone. So, yeah, the two things about it. The Rock has really well-tailored suits, and 90% of the conversations take place on a mobile telephone.
We're recording this episode of Hey Fam, the night of the big game.
The big game's on. This is the night of big game. This is the big game edition of Hey Fam.
We actually have two televisions. One of them is showing the third episode of Entourage. The other one is showing the big game.
Oh, the big game.
The fourth episode of Entourage.
We're just trying to see if anything happen.
Yeah, because I'm up to episode 3. Angus is up to episode 4.
We've got closed captioning on. We're both
and then here's the third television.
He is still a dick in both of them. It doesn't matter.
But if The Rock was in Sydney playing his character from Ballers, which I assume is Mr. Baller.
Mr. Baller, yeah. Baller Baldwin.
Mr. Baller was my father's name.
And he's bald as well. That's actually, I might say, the first astute observation I made this week is every Caucasian male in the show is either old, bald, or sleazy. And I'm like, well, that's kind of like real life. You know what I mean?
Definitely. In the world of sports,
every sports
marketing.
Star is young, really handsome, fit, African-American. Every guy who's white in the program is trying to just take their money and look after it. Well, Rock kind of falls in this no man's land of he is neither either here or there. He's kind of bald, but he's of Tongan background as well. So he's got this beautiful skin. He's got that great toothy smile.
He once had hair and was a sportsman.
Yeah, he had hair. So it's kind of, I mean, look into that how you will.
A Delilah shaved his hair off and he became a marketer.
Yeah. The plot this week was great. It was kind of your parents are out of town, don't use their house to throw a party, except with The Rock and Rob Corddry's boss's yacht. So that's your plot. That's what happened. Someone said the word Molly in it, and it wasn't in reference to a female's name. So seems like the drug that's made its way through Hollywood scriptwriters' lives now is well and truly Molly. So there you go, gang.
After 2 years of rappers referencing it,
yep.
Finally it's made it
finally
to Hollywood.
It's made it to HBO. And somebody, I think... Oh, this is right. The line that stood out to me was The Rock, and I forget what the context was, but he basically said this more or less looking down the barrel of the camera just to really hammer home what type of character he is. My dreams are about deals or dollars, and boom, there's your three baller facts this week.
And did the credits roll as soon as he said that?
I think the Entourage theme song started.
Produced by Dick Wolf.
So yeah, that's what we got.
Producer.
I wish you produced it. Oh, man. I don't know if it's too distracting with Entourage. I know it's pretty good, isn't it?
What, watching Entourage?
Having Entourage on.
Yeah, I'm just remembering all these key characters. Hey, if The Rock was in Sydney tonight, do you reckon he would go for Sydney or Brisbane in the big game?
Well, was he here for a sporting event recently?
I mean, you could argue that everywhere he goes, he's there for a
sporting event. It's a sporting
event.
I mean, I don't know. I think you'd come out with like a Rock shirt on. And then yell, like, can you smell what The Rock is cooking? Just kind of make a mockery out of it.
And then he'd be like, yo, let's go Melbourne.
Yeah, something like that.
Like, just kind of confused.
And then he'd just give you that look, like, don't fuck with me, I'm The Rock.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of his Instagrams lately?
I don't follow The Rock on
Instagram.
Well,
that's a huge crime that you need to amend right now. While Levins is following, do yourself a favor and follow The Rock on Instagram. He's shooting a movie right now with Kevin Hart. And they've actually got this funny thing going on where they keep filming like, hey, we're on the set of, it's a really generic buddy cop movie, but they keep getting
Baller
in the back.
Cops.
Yeah, Baller Cop Entourage. And they keep getting in the background of each other's shot. And they're like, fake. And they actually swear like, fuck you, I'm trying to do this for my fans. And then Kevin Hart will be like, I'm trying to do this to my fucking fans. And they both like get in fights and you see them in each other's feed in the background of each one's yelling at the other one. But they're saying identical lines. Not that funny now, but it's kind of like, Internet 6.0.
Oh, it's like after watching 3 episodes of The Ballers, it's probably the funniest thing you've
ever
seen.
Oh, it's the most well-scripted, dynamic, well-acted piece of art. But I think that's this week's Ballers, guys. Just remember, party on a yacht. Everyone that's white is old and wants younger people's money. And The Rock only dreams about deals and dollars.
Speaking of old white people wanting everyone's money, another HBO show
had
its third episode of the second season this week. and that is a little show that we call True Detective.
Or TD, as we do in text messages. Yeah, so we're embarking on, not that it's hard, but you know, the next first eight episodes are going to be us reacting to True Detective Season 2.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, I guess it is the most important show to me at the moment.
Oh, totally. Look, I don't want to sound too positive about everything because we do talk about things we like and we're not here to review things or be like I don't like putting numbers on things. We're just in to talk about stuff that we dig and I thought it was great. I'm invested.
If I was to assign it a number, I would give it a 3 because it was the third episode.
Third episode and there's three and true detectives.
I would give it true.
If you haven't heard, last week I predicted that Paul Woodrow is of homosexual preference when it comes to loving people, and it looks like my suspicions were correct. My gaydar
Paul,
was...
Paul Woodrow is Rachel McAdams' character, right?
Yeah, it's Vince Vaughn's second.
Because I said last week that I have no idea what any of the characters' names are.
Paul Woodrow is the Chips, the cop on the bike.
I still have no idea.
Oh, come on, you know Frank is Vince Vaughn.
That's Frank, okay.
Ray Velcoro.
I just call them all, I guess because I, you know
that's
them
a kind
so
of hard
well as...
thing when they're big name actors. Yeah, yeah. You're always going to be calling them by the name they are. And it's not like it's a show that, you know, that, I mean, I wish there was cool.
What's Colin Farrell's name? Like Jason Derulo.
So close. Vin Diesel. No, it's Ray Velcoro.
Yeah.
I just remember Velcro.
Raymond Velcoro.
How good is that name? Ray Velcro.
You know how Jason Derulo sings his name in the beginning of all his songs? Like, Jason Derulo.
It's good, man. It's great for the Shazam generation.
You know, I like to, Wind in the Willows.
You got your own remix?
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, True Detective
Annie
episode.
Annie Bezeredis. That's,
Bezeredis?
Yeah.
That's Rachel McAdams' character?
Rachel McAdams, yeah.
Wow. Well, so just then, Angus could remember her character's name, couldn't remember the actor's name.
Yeah, wow. Isn't
life crazy, guys?
Aren't I so invested in this show? It looks like I could win True Detective Season 2 trivia hosted by us.
So last week we predicted one thing that Chips was gay.
Chips was gay, 100%.
They haven't outright gone and said it, but it looks like that's
well, it looks like that's
he's covering
his major conflict.
Maybe he's not necessarily gay, but he has...
He had a moment in the mountains.
While at war.
Well, I like to call it Broke Black Mountain because that is the name of the mission he was on. Remember, he keeps speaking about Black Mountain and what he did.
Oh, yeah, right.
So I'm thinking it's Broke Black Mountain. I think he said that from what I in that very awkward and really well-acted scene where he's gone to the dirt bike races with his ex-soldier friend who's also been going through some form of PTSD. And he's like, remember those 3 days in the village? And then he tries to... That scene where he's like, oh, yeah, combat. That's all I think about. And he's like, no, not the combat. Yeah. Oh, man. You're like, bro. It
was back then, they were at war with the enemy. And now back at home.
And society's...
they're at war with their own psyche.
And society's perception of what's love. Acceptable. And acceptable. Yeah, that was great. And for some reason, Harvey Bullock was there photographing. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
What's that? Is he kind of in on the scene
Harvey
too?
Bullock is the guy...
Velcoro's partner.
Yeah. Jason Derulo's partner.
He's your classic fat... detective with a loose tie.
He's yeah, exactly.
Hip flask.
He's one donut away from being Batman's Harvey Bullock.
Yeah, totally.
The inept detective on the Gotham PD.
He's interested in that. What did you think of Velcoro surviving? I mean, ooh,
so that was another prediction we said last week. We thought that perhaps because if he was half the man Russ Cole was,
yeah,
he'd be
he would
able
survive.
To take a few slugs to the chest.
Russ Cole famously last seen wearing a tomahawk in his chest at the end of True Detective Season 1, which was thrown by a very good throw. And
He got hit by a true detective in the chest.
He went down like a true detective, you know what I mean? Like, he took that like a TD. But yeah, and you know what? It was police riot bullets, so who has those? Police.
Oh, that's what Velcoro got shot by.
Yeah, and who carries police rifles?
He was wearing a vest all along.
Another
one of your predictions, Angus.
Well, he was a good cop. He's still, as much as he doesn't, because you've noticed the season a few times, he's like, well, I'm not really too much of a Columbo. He's like, really? Am I? Like, he seems to have some doubts. But I think at the end of the day, you will learn he is a true detective.
He's a true Columbo.
What do you think of that cool dream sequence?
I was going to say, that was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very David Lynchian.
So Lynchian.
But... like, I don't know. I love it. Great. I love the little tinge of that in the show.
And, it was awesome.
That was so great that, you know, the Elvis impersonator. I mean,
It wasn't Elvis. It was another guy.
Well, wasn't it Elvis singing someone else's song?
It was.
When Elvis impersonator singing someone else's song.
No, actually, I should have written it down.
He was singing Psy's hit song, Upper Gangnam Style.
Singing Upper Gangnam Style. Yeah. Everyone got up. It was a whole lot of good times. But yeah, the blue lighting, the conversation with his dad in the third person.
And it was great just being in that bar and not having that depressed lady strumming away at her acoustic guitar.
Yeah, or the chick with like the one eye and the gnarly scars.
Oh no,
like
she's cool. I'm
cracking onto Velcoro big time.
Oh man, in a perfect world, like they would end
They're
up.
They're gonna
together.
End up.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like that too. She's the only like, woman who seems to care for.
She's gonna be
him.
Like at the very end. She'll be like everyone else will be dead. I'll just be Jason Derulo and her, and then he'll be like, she'll be like,
all
I
doing
guess
Gangnam
you really
Style.
Are a true detective.
Now that's the type of world I want to live in. Are they all singing Gangnam Style in this one?
Then Psy comes back out and says, "Hey, sexy ladies."
What do you think of his dad?
Psy's dad.
Psy's dad, beautiful man, even better.
I know. I thought. Yeah. I mean, look. I spend the first 10 minutes after watching the new episodes of True Detective going onto Facebook to look for opportunities to defend the latest season of...
Are people
of,
still ragging it out on yours?
People really don't like it. I don't
really?
Like, people are so confused by it.
But like I said, rose-tinted glasses have made us remember like season one, and it was a lightning in a bottle thing. It was nothing had been like that before. This is like Pinkerton, you know, after Weezer's really classic, critic-adored, but also like... weren't well on the charts.
What other podcast is out here comparing HBO TV shows to Weezer albums?
You got it, gang.
Hey, fam.
That's a hey, fam guarantee. You're going to be getting that that type of comparison now then. Sorry, I still can't find out who it was. It was a 70s singer, but he was singing the Bette Midler song.
I completely forgot what you were trying to find.
Oh, you were singing the Bette Midler song.
You're trying
to
find...
They what? Say love.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it sounded very obviously.
Was impersonator though, wasn't
no,
it?
No, another guy.
Okay.
I confirmed it in an online chat. No, I thought it was Elvis too. Everyone
with,
thought it was
Vince
Elvis.
With Vince after you're getting your dailies.
I started getting my dailies. I said, Vince, show me the money, baby. Show me the motorboating shots. yeah. Oh, yeah. So you're going to defend it. That's weird. Still people...
People aren't on board still. The people aren't so much complaining about it being bad that they are complaining about
confusing.
It being
confusing. But which is that's the whole point. It's not like
I don't know. People are like, oh, I finished an episode and then I think I guess I have to watch it again to get it.
You
don't
have to watch it again.
I mean, I don't
or if you want to, do it.
Yeah,
it's so weird. But they all suck Game of Thrones dick, don't they? It's
Dick of Thrones.
So, what do you think of seeing that other cool character with a mask at the end? Some kind of kabuki.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
I don't know. No, I'm really, I'm totally invested from this episode. I was like, yeah, this is like, I'm on board.
Like, it's definitely trashier. I mean, the first season was pretty trashy.
Yeah, it's pulp.
It's pulp.
Detective.
It's super pulpy. And I just love how slow moving it is. And then it will just give you like, oh, it's going to be exciting. Not really. Oh, it's exciting
it's
enough.
It's hard.
Whatever.
There's four major characters in this. It's going to, you know.
Everyone is arguing, why is there four major characters
But, you know,
in
the
this?
Gimmick, there kind of was in the last season too. There was modern Rust and modern, what was... and Marty, and then there was young Russ, and that different character. It was like,
well, and then there was like some like
the two
Russ
new
and
cops.
Marty in the middle there as well.
Exactly, you know, and there were
six of them really, but it was just two,
and they all had unreliable narration. That was the whole point of it. It was you know.
I mean, like you could have argued that there were too many different timelines in the last one, and
it now, was kind of confusing.
You know, instead of being kind of confused by timelines, now you're kind of getting confused by. Characters and but I think
but in a way that's the idea we're getting
like
weighed
it.
Down.
It's such a huge world that you're
oh
you're
totally
part of.
And we're being bombarded with information like all these corporations who are behind houses who are behind and I think it's supposed to bombard us. Like right now I'm feeling like well who the hell isn't involved with this situation? You know what I mean? And
yeah,
I think we're gonna find out. Like it runs deep, man.
What did you think of the hilarious scene with the mayor's son? Putting on that accent.
So good. Now, I read something and it really clicked and made sense. I mean, I love that scene in general because it was just so strange. And it was probably like 11 in the morning, but it was like a Jay Gatsby party from The Great Gatsby. Yeah. It was like, except the aftermath. I forget who, I think it was the AV Club. And they said this great thing. I really dig reading their recaps.
But they're not fully on board this season.
No,
either.
They make some great points.
They continually compare it to the first season, which I think is
big,
the biggest
loss,
problem.
Yeah. Big loss. But they made this cool point where it's, oh, look, it's Anna from the OC.
In Entourage.
In Entourage.
We should definitely turn Entourage off. I'm making the call, fam.
Yeah, do it. There's a great...
Sorry, Vinny. Sorry, drama. Sorry, Sloan.
We'll find out later whether Vince gets the movie. They made this great point saying... We're seeing the... And, you know, the South was so big in the last one. In this one, we saw... It's very LA, duh. It's set in it. But we saw this post-apocalyptic landscape, which was for a Hollywood film, with our shooting. Mm. But then we also saw an actual very real one, which is like all the refineries and all the tent town, like all the shanty town where they chase at the end. You know what I mean? With all the flames. And but then you also saw these guys... We saw real hard asses running strip clubs, i.e. the guy whose teeth got ripped out by Vince Vaughn in a scene deemed, you know, too risque for Wedding Crashers. But I'm sure they'd figure that one out. But and then you also saw the tough guys, Mare's son, putting on a voice. Like, it was all this whole town's built on people pretending to be things, including films. And it's like, I kind of dug that correlation there. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, an update for me and True Detective is I'm still on board.
We're on board.
Looking for, I mean, that episode finished and I was like, I really could have watched 2 more hours of that episode.
I was about to say, how do you feel like with a show like True Detective, would you rather binge it or do you like these week to week?
I'm somewhere in the middle because yeah. I mean, and that's like, you know, I loved especially the first 10 episodes
just
of,
chatting
of
in
Daredevil
between.
When I struggled until I was properly hooked by the end. I struggled to find time to watch more than 1 or 2 episodes.
Really? Yeah. See, I was kind of like, I think I had a hungover weekend and I can't really differentiate from episode 4 till 9. Like, to me, they're just this big constant thing. And I think it really depends on, I don't know what you're doing and how you see it and when. But I really love, I mean, once this show ends, we're not going to be speaking about it until season 3, you know. But I love that week by week, we're going to be right now. I love that idea of you're involved in that moment. And we're just like, all these articles and all these opinions. Like, coming to that late, it's not as fun. Because by the end of it, 8 weeks of, who do you think it is? Who do you think it is? The answers are there. And it's kind of, you look back and you're like, oh, well, that's kind of boring. Because that's wrong. That's wrong. That's stupid. That's way off.
Yeah, totally.
That guy was right. But I think living through it, that's like, to me, super exciting.
It definitely works better for us talking about it on a podcast.
Oh, totally. Because
we
can stretch it out.
At once, we'd be like, well, when I watched the first episode, I thought this was going to happen. But then this was going to happen.
You know, it shoots a whodunit as well.
Yeah.
Also, I'm remembering a lot of people got, and the start of True Detective season 1 was so strong. By the end of it, it got quite, you know, they kind of didn't.
There was one episode that just felt like a shitty cop procedural show.
It just didn't answer a lot of things. Like, by the end, we're thinking, it's going to be so deep with the cult. It's going to be so deep with this. And I kind of love the fact it wasn't, and it didn't address it all, but it was just like, you didn't even get to the root of this problem. You got some weird, like, we were expecting, like, these sinister senators and all these, like, high-up people involved in the church. Remember, the church was such a big...
Yeah.
And in the end, it ended up being this gross dude speaking in different accents with his girlfriend/sister, remember? And that you're like, oh, so... Is it a deep thing? And you know what I was thinking? Is there any way, because there's obviously some kind of shit going on with these parties and girls, and there's a big discussion going around. There's this secret society in real life called Bohemian Grove. Do you know about it?
Like, just from reading.
Yeah, and it's kind of like articles. The skulls or something like that. You know, it's like George Bush is in it. All these people who have been featured in the mayor's photographs have all been part of this society. It's legit. Harry Shearer was in it from The Simpsons.
It's like the scumbag Illuminati.
Oh, totally. And it's up. It's they've referenced it a couple of times. They're saying, oh, this place up north, and it's up north. It could have, I don't know, they were investigating the 80s too for a lot of bad sex snuff stuff. So, I mean, could the whole master plan be the Rust Cole and Ray Velcoro's case? Can they cross over? Like, is there going to be this United States?
I think... Yeah, I mean that's the biggest, I guess maybe the most frustrating thing for someone that, you know, wants this to progress faster is you are waiting for all of these different paths to properly cross. Like you had Chips bump into Vince Vaughn's character.
That was awesome because they've never seen each other.
And it was just that was it.
And Vince was on his way to rip some goddamn teeth out, and Chips was on his way to get really drunk because he didn't want to be in a strip club with naked dudes.
Naked ladies.
That's there. Is like double. But I just thought, isn't it amazing? Won't it be amazing? And if it's not even spelled out, but it's kind of implied that Yellow King Carcosa is a kind of real southern take on this child sex ring type of thing that's going on, perhaps even in this part. And it's like each season's going to be a different take on the same huge ring. I don't know.
Yeah, like every town's
secret. Got a version of it, but it's all kind of run by, I don't know. I would hate it if it was kind of too cute and neatly tied, but... That's just something I was thinking about.
I'm reading a really great comic at the moment. It's an ongoing monthly by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips, probably my favorite author and my favorite writer.
You heard
artist.
It here first, second Hey Fam exclusive tonight.
And it's Southern called, Bastards. It's called The Fade Out.
Oh, The Fade Out.
Every week I'm probably going to say, that's probably my favorite writer. That's probably my favorite writer.
Brubaker consistently, different. Though.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Just, yeah.
And it's set in Hollywood during like, you know, the dawn of the picture. No, it's like the mid-30s.
But it's ongoing, so it is actually like
month
a,
to month.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. Who puts it out?
Image.
Yeah, right.
Brubaker and Phillips are both writing exclusively for Image Comics now.
Yeah, big news, wasn't it?
This time last year, I was reading, like, I think I was every month, I reckon I would have been buying maybe like between like 8 and 12 Marvel comics. And now I'm buying about 24 different Image titles.
Yeah, right.
Month, which is crazy.
What does it mean?
It just means, I don't know. I just think Image are really, really smashing it. If we'll do big focuses on, I guess, like comic recommendations for you very soon.
Who's the
The Fade Out is like an incredible kind of look at Hollywood, and you have like all the different. It's written from the point of view. The main character is a screenwriter with writer's block, so he gets an older screenwriter who has been blacklisted from Hollywood because
of
his past. Yeah, right.
Commie bastard.
So he's you know, he's ghostwriting all of his stuff, but then it also definitely hints at the, you know, like the secret society that a lot of the big money investors, you know, are missing women and
amazing
murders.
So you're seeing some like cool similarities in a way.
I hadn't even thought of it until you brought it up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's definitely like.
I mean, the parties with the girls and the girls gone missing, like in True Detective. Remember the girl who told Vince last episode? Oh, I went home with him one night. He just liked to watch. She's gone missing, and I'm like, yeah, there's something going on, man.
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly not the first instance of somebody, you know, writing about the
no, of course not.
Dirty Hollywood secrets.
Mulholland Drive again, David Lynch. I mean, you know, it's just it's interesting because we're all obsessed with it, and we don't want there to be an underbelly of it, maybe, or maybe
we do. Well, yeah, I feel like an underbelly.
Hey, while we're on Image, what do you think of the crazy announcements this week?
Oh man, there've been a lot of it's because
the Image announcements, well,
the lead up to Comic-Con quite soon is meaning that we're getting lots of crazy leaks and conferences where they're announcing stacks of new titles. The biggest news was that Brian K. Vaughan is going to be writing a story set in the Walking Dead universe.
Yeah, and the headlines were so misleading. It was like, Brian K. Vaughan writing Walking Dead.
I was like, no fucking way.
You
I
go
thought,
in there.
I thought they were going to swap.
You're like, Kirkman's gone?
Yeah. I thought maybe like, you know, like how Todd McFarlane passed the Spawn writing duties over to someone else. But
I mean, he's almost done 200 issues of Walking Dead now too, in a way.
Like 130 or 140.
130. Yeah. And to me, I'm like, well, that's not hard to believe that someone might be passing the rotting flesh baton or anything.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Kirkman stays busy, man. He's
a busy boy.
Yeah, I remember Outcast is another book that he's writing.
Right.
He's got another one coming out soon too. And
what did you think of the Brian Lee O'Malley announcement? First time he's doing ongoing.
Oh yeah, Brian Lee O'Malley, and actually this is
a big thing for Levins and I. We bonded hugely.
He's the writer of Scott Pilgrim, and
Seconds, Lost at Sea.
Mm.
But yeah, Scott Pilgrim. He's the Scott Pilgrim guy.
And he's in the past always written and drawn his comics,
and always done graphic novels. It's never been single issues. Stuff. He's never written in that format nor that size.
And what's the book?
Snot Girl,
and it's about the fashion industry,
fashion online. It's like the fashion blogging world or something like that.
And he's writing it, but someone else is the artist,
which I'm kind of into it. I'm like, that's pretty cool for him to do.
Yeah,
I'm really curious about that. And he does write really sick female characters too, which is one of the most popular conversations with comics and movies, that there aren't enough.
I probably should have pulled up the list of all the new titles.
Yeah.
But hey,
let's wing it.
Oh yeah, I'm really looking forward to the Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne Johnson's he's writing. He's illustrating. It's actually.
It's Ballers.
Stone Cold Steve
novel.
Austin is actually drawing it. when was the big announcement? It was like a couple of days
Angus
ago.
Angus just Google searched Image Comics.
Damn it, comics we're excited for. Yeah, whatever, there's some big ones.
There's some big ones. There's some great stuff there. And as they get closer to being released, we'll definitely let you know which are the ones that you should keep an eye out for.
Comic-Con.
Do you read singles or do you read trades? Or you like them digital, don't you?
I'm both. I swing between digital for comics that... I don't know, for comics that are kind of, that I'm testing the waters on, there's a lot of great sales with digital, when money, like I,
yeah, because sometimes it's kind of like, I don't really want to give Marvel $5 a month. Like,
no, I definitely don't.
If you are, have a Comixology app, they'll do sales where it's like,
you get like the whole series for $0.99 an issue and, yeah, and that, it works out to be $30 for like
the entire
maybe
run.
And you're like, well, why the hell not? Where yeah, a trade exactly would cost you $140 to get the same amount of issues in trades. I've gotten to the point now where I've got maybe 5 AAA titles, which I buy every week, and I'll get them physically. I'll read those, but for the other series that I'm kind of, I will stick with, or ones that I've been consistent with, I will get digitally, and I'll usually wait a few months until they drop in price and do kind of a bulk read.
Yeah.
So I like reading like the weekly ones.
It
is fun.
Yeah. It goes back to the, you know, do you want to watch an episode every week or do you want to binge it all at once?
Yeah. And like, I don't mind doing that. Like I've been picking up on the Marvel Star Wars as they come out because A, huge Star Wars fan, and B, really good comics, and it's I like the ritual again of going to the comic book shop, picking them up. But I've also got an iPad, which I kind of got for reading a lot of digital comics, and the sales are just way too good sometimes to pass up on.
Absolutely.
The art looks amazing. You don't get the ads, and I do love the ads in the comic books.
I like the ads like 10 years after that.
Totally.
The
when you see the old,
when you're putting out like, and you're reading like weird, you know, two decade old toy ads or McDonald's
I just love
ads.
Seeing stuff. I remember when I used to buy comics from like the newsagent when I was a kid, which I don't even think you can buy them at newsagents anymore.
You can buy like really overpriced, backdated Batman issues.
You get a Batman issue that's about 4 to 9 months
and
old.
And shitloads of Phantom. Like, who the fuck is out
is
there
that still
reading
getting published?
Phantom comics? Yeah, yeah.
Lee Falk's dead. Who was writing the Phantom?
I think they're just, I don't know, just, especially reissues? In Australia. It's, Australia's so, such a big
so
Phantom.
It's so weird. It's so strange. I don't understand that. Shout outs to Billy Zane.
Man, shout out to a movie that I kind of enjoyed when I was a kid, but I'm sure Phantom? It was absolute garbage. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, Catherine Zeta. I mean, they're all there.
Was anyone actually like, they didn't stay true to the source material?
Well, he was purple. I mean, if they did it now, that would make him like black suit. You know, that would kind of just, he wouldn't even be the Phantom to the last 2 frames of the movie.
Just have Vin Diesel, one line, just, I am Phantom.
Vin Diesel would be the voice of his Jaguar or something. That he always
ring, the voice of his ring. Yeah, I am ring.
No, that would be, yeah, that'd be a sassy black ring probably. Yeah, and I do like the ritual of going in, but also just the convenience of having them downloaded anywhere I want, reading them whenever I want, and even traveling and stuff like for work.
Yo,
or
man, I love, like, everyone who will be like, oh, I hate flying. I
love
like,
it.
Nothing more. I love
it. I'm trapped in the air and I
yeah,
have
it's
to
like,
read.
Oh, what's that? The flight's an hour longer. I mean, I have 19 hours in the air.
Totally.
Perfect.
Oh, no,
I'll read 200 issues of something.
That's what I was saying. I have these old comics where I used to buy them as a kid, old Marvel ones. I used to be obsessed with X-Men and Spider-Man comics. Still am to varying degrees based on who's writing them. The ads were amazing because it was just these. It was like Narnia. I was like, these cereals can't exist. Like, just things that you would never. And like the Happy Meal ads, like their toys were like so amazing. I just remember, and that off, it was that 90s version of America where it was Nickelodeon. Everything was bright. Everything was gross and cool. And it was just, oh man, it made.
CDs were so much cheaper then.
Totally. I was like, a $7 CD. And it was just, oh man. And ads for games. Like, I remember seeing Super Metroid in there and just blowing out. And the ads were cool, man. They had like always like really, you know, kids in Quicksilver t-shirts playing video games, screaming at the screen as like the graphics popped out of them. And
you
I just missed that.
Your eyes.
Totally. And just like these totally unrealistic hyperbolic.
There's a, I was reading some old Punisher comics the other day, and they had on the back of each issue of this series is a really sexist Tomb Raider ad, but
oh,
it's
wow.
not actually for Tomb Raider. It's for like a sound system for your computer. And
right.
And the tagline is, finally, Lara will sound as hot as she looks.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's a really good way to do that. You know what? Just thinking about comics, who did the run on that?
Garth Ennis.
Now, I don't know if you've read it, but there's a scene, and I saw this on one of my True Detective websites, forum spots that I go on. But
TrueDetectiveFans.net.
I am the webmaster.
/ Australian True Detective Fans.
That's us. There's only 2 members. It's you and I. But there's an Ennis issue. Is it Punisher Max?
Yeah.
There's an issue where a dude is in there. I forget who his name, and he smiles, and his teeth are engraved, and they say, fuck you.
Yeah. No,
and
yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Where
yeah, yeah.
Pizzolatto
Barracuda.
Barracuda. Yeah,
Barracuda is the name. So he actually did reference
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the reference.
If you missed it, in True Detective, a character. What character had the
Well, he's
the
guy
grills?
Who's Vince ripped them out.
Oh, of course.
Week.
Yeah, yeah, shit.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, yeah. As he was doing, he's like, what type of way is that to greet the world? Like,
that's right.
He had F-U-C-K on his top four, and then bottom fuck three you, had
yeah.
you.
Yeah, and Barracuda is like this, he's this, you know, extreme character that gets paid to kill the Punisher for a few stories.
Is he
stories.
Just an Ennis created character? Like, he hasn't been in the series before?
Yeah, that's right. And then, they reused him in Garth Ennis' incredible Fury Max run as well, where it's about Nick Fury's Days of the War.
Because you did a huge Punisher run, didn't you, recently?
Man, yeah, Garth Ennis' Punisher Max run is like one of the top five comic runs I've ever read.
But yeah, it sounds like, I don't know, I like the fact he's like borrowing from comics and... I mean, Punisher's pretty pulpy.
Nick from the True Detective guy?
Yeah. I mean, I guess Punisher really suits that realm where, like, bad guys, the good guys are still kind of bad.
Oh, my God. Imagine, because they just announced that Punisher is going to be in season two of Daredevil. Imagine if they then branch off to a Punisher season written by Nick.
Will you die?
I will die.
Do you think that's why they're setting it up?
Kind of, like, on one hand, I would love to see that. Like, I would love them to announce it. But then the second time, I won't get to see that because I'll die.
Do you think they're setting that up? Do you think they've realized, holy shit,
oh, yeah. Like, Netflix... A well-done Punisher story would be 10 times more
popular. Because they did one movie, they did a reboot of the series with a new Punisher.
I liked Punisher Warzone, but it was absolute trash.
So that was under the Marvel Knights film brand, wasn't it? Where it was like a couple people, like the Ghost Rider movies came out under that banner?
Yeah. You're the only person I know that's seen both Ghost Rider movies.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, it was during my year of watching nothing but Nicolas Cage movies, which also, if you've never done that before... Turn off this podcast and go do that immediately and then come back.
enter yourself into a cage match.
Yeah. No, it was, they're actually, part two again, like you liked, was it Warzone?
Yeah.
I like part two of Ghost Rider. It was awesome. It was done by the guys who did Crank.
Isn't there a bit where like...
He pisses fire, yeah,
He pisses fire while his son looks out the window.
Yeah,
the
of course. Because he's Johnny Storm. What do you think about a Ghost Rider Netflix? Would you see that working?
I mean, at this point, like Marvel could announce anything and I'd be like, yeah, they'll make it work.
Do you think the fact that things that are on Netflix, because it seems to be like already that was dark as shit compared to anything that's been in the MCU so far.
Daredevil, yeah.
I mean, do you see as like maybe they could do Blade, maybe they could do these like kind of darker, more adult, like the Max series of, because the comics were called Max. Was,
yeah, well, I mean, if they did a proper hard R Punisher,
yeah.
You know, that would be pretty
It
awesome.
Could be setting up, because I remember when they made the deal, they were like, we're going to be doing Jessica Jones, we're going to do Luke Cage, we're going to be doing Daredevil, and then we're going to do the Defenders. But they never said, like, if they'll do more or less. I mean, maybe they've just been like, holy shit, people will watch the hell out of darker Marvel.
Well, people will just watch the hell out of Marvel.
Yeah, totally.
I want to work out how long at this rate, given how many more things they're announcing and how much of my time is being spent watching Marvel properties. Like, at this rate, if they keep growing at the rate they do, how long until, like, effectively everything I watch is Marvel?
Yeah, it is kind of getting like that. I mean, it's even down to the games I play, the thing, you know what I mean? Like, this year, the
You don't play any Marvel games? What Marvel games do you play?
No, I mean, like, I'm saying for Star Wars, for me, I'm like...
Oh, right, you mean Disney, the big Disney, yeah.
The number one movie I'm looking forward to this year is the new Star Wars. The game I'm looking forward to most is Star Wars Battlefront. The comics I'm reading, I'm like, holy shit, for a franchise that literally had finished 10 years ago, and like, that's all, folks. Thanks for watching the 6 episodes of Anakin Skywalker's Rise and Fall and Rise Again.
Well, even before that, thanks for watching the 3 episodes.
Thanks for watching one movie. Thanks for watching... Yeah, and it's just kind of like, holy shit, everything that I'm 30 and still everything that... And the Lego I'm buying, like everything I'm still a part of is still Star Wars again. It's just come back and I'm just like, oh man, this is crazy. I thought I said goodbye to you years ago. Not in a bad way. But now you're just coming back. And the series I watch every week with Rebels, it's like, oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, at the moment we think that we're at peak superhero, but I feel like Star Wars is going to, like,
oh, man.
It could change all that.
This like, Comic-Con, from this episode to next episode, we're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about, I'm sure.
Mm.
I mean, today the big news of Star Wars were the geniuses that did, you know, Lego, Chris Lord and Phil Miller.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, the guys who did the Lego movie, who did 21
Jump Street. 22 and Cloudy.
Clay with Chance of Meatballs and
Spider-Man animated that they're doing for Sony.
Yeah, but before they did one of my favorite shows, Clone High.
Oh, Clone High, of course. Yeah.
Really underrated
and
animated
Last Man
show
on
for
Earth,
MTV.
The showrunner.
Oh, I still haven't watched Last Man on Earth.
Yeah, I've only seen the first three eps. It's awesome. Spoiler alert, he's not the last man on Earth.
Oh,
sorry, guys.
What the hell, man?
Yeah, but he's not the last man on Earth. But they're like... Awesome. I've dug all their stuff. And they made the best point, which the first thing you pulled out of the article when we said to each other this morning was they're like, so they basically now, I don't know, if you don't know, Star Wars is back. Like, come out. It's back.
But so they're making a new trilogy, the and then a whole bunch of spin-offs.
Oh man, I think it's gonna be bigger than a trilogy. I think that's gonna be like at least 6 movies. They're gonna be doing the episodes.
What is like? I mean, you go trilogy, quadrilogy. What is 6-agility?
I think they start calling it a saga. I think
no. There's got to be like 6. Is there an octilogy when they hit 8?
Well, that's 8. That'll be 8 trilogies. Yeah.
So what's hex? Hexilogy?
Hexagon? What's a hexagon?
It's 6
sides? Yeah. Yes.
Welcome to Hey Fam, where we talk about shapes.
With maths, Dr. Carl, couldn't make it for tonight's episode, but he said don't do drugs, but also just do the good ones and
classic
record what happens to yourself.
Classic Dr. Carl.
Classic DRK. So they begin doing the episodes, which are your episodes, you know, that's going to be about the Skywalker family. They've said that. They said this. But the beauty is they're doing these other offshoot movies with new, they're not going to be Star Wars episode, blah, blah. They're called Star Wars anthologies. And what's kind of fun about that, from what they seem to be doing so far, they're giving ideas or kind of almost these fan fiction plots to directors who aren't exactly AAA, like not your J.J. Abrams. They're going like, oh, Gareth Edwards. So he's doing the first one. He did Godzilla and Monster a few years ago, Monsters, which is his mad indie low budget monster film. And his one comes out next year, and it's just started shooting this week, and it's called Rogue One. And the plot's awesome. It's set just before Episode 4, so the original Star Wars movie, and it's how the Rebels got the Death Star plans. So it's a heist-style movie, and it's Felicity Jones, Forrest Whitaker, Ben Mendelsohn, all these people. But the cool thing...
Great actors. They should call it An Old Hope, though.
An Older Hope, yeah. Or retitle A New Hope and Slightly Newer Hope. But the big... rumor which came out today, and it hasn't been confirmed, though it probably will post Comic Con, is Darth Vader is going to be in.
No, they're fully confirmed. You had.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That's in Han Solo. That's a different movie.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
Yeah, no. So this is the movie. This movie's already got a title.
We didn't even talk about Han Solo when you're talking about Vader.
Oh, no. So this is just setting up. So there's going to be these anthology movies. And
once you start Angus on Star Wars, he doesn't get off.
Josh Trank was signed on. This is the other, before with Han Solo, the other movie was announced after this Rogue One film. Didn't have a title, but Josh Trank, who's did, what was the movie with, it was like the found footage superhero movie?
Oh, Chronicle?
Chronicle and Fantastic Four.
Yeah, right.
So this was his next movie. He was doing the second Star Wars anthology. It wasn't Han Solo, which they said in the Star Wars press release today. It was going to be a Boba Fett.
Is that still going to happen or no?
Well, they're still looking for a director at the moment.
Right.
So everyone thought the big reveal today was Chris Lord and Phil Miller were going to be doing Boba Fett, but it actually explicitly says like, no, we're doing Han Solo. And like so they're doing a young Han Solo movie. That all they've said is you'll find out how he became the smuggler. And
there's some funny quotes associated to their announcement, because after doing a movie about Lego, a toy, and then a movie based off of like, you know,
an 80s heartthrob like cop drama
that no one really remembers in 21 Jump Street. They just remember it as like, you know, the beginning point for Johnny Depp.
Yeah, it was his. It was like then, It was his Degrassi a la Drake.
And they also made like two movies based off a, you know, mostly nonsense children's book.
Oh yeah, which wouldn't have been more than 20 pages long.
So something. Certainly nothing that like screams like blockbuster, and they made huge blockbusters out of all of them. And now that they're directing, writing and directing a Han Solo movie, yeah. They said this is the first movie that we've announced that we're doing that sounds like a good idea.
I mean, first things first, it's not going to have Harrison Ford in it.
Of course not.
I mean, to me, that's just like, you can already hear, I mean, the sound is very audible being in the Star Wars universe, but you can already hear the people complaining.
Why don't they do what, Jeff Bridges did in Tron Legacy?
And put his face on younger, like in Arnie in the new Terminator in the trailer. Yeah. But you know, I think that's exciting. It's like Alec Guinness was Obi-Wan Kenobi, but now also Ewan McGregor is, because I think
Do you think people are like, do you think Ewan McGregor's take on Obi-Wan is as beloved as...
Oh, totally.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to the point where people are like, oh, well, I mean, Alec Guinness, he's probably got about...
Not my Obi-Wan.
He's probably got like 15, 20 minutes of screen time.
Sure.
You know, in the other ones, he is like the hero. He's like the closest thing to the solid hero whose values never change, blah, blah, blah. Plus, he's the one who's used in the Clone Wars series, which is, again, the best version of Obi-Wan. And yeah, I mean, a lot of people, like, one of the things, the few things that even haters can claim that they really dug about the prequel trilogy. Fucking haters. Every one thing they can all agree on is, yeah, Ewan's Obi-Wan is awesome. Yeah, but so they're doing Han Solo. I mean, any idea, who would you see as, I mean, that's a huge role. That is huge.
Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne, you know who I want? Only because he played his illegitimate son in Indiana Jones 4.
You really want LaBeouf?
I want LaBeouf. I think LaBeouf, the proof is in the LaBeouf pudding. He's crazy.
He's absolutely crazy. I mean, he is a good actor.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Especially
seriously.
Now. Like, I don't know. I feel like...
Oh, totally.
I feel like he's batshit insane. Everyone thinks he's a complete...
He's at that Nick Cage level now, you know, where it's just like...
But I feel like he could really turn in the performance of his life next.
Yeah, I'm not joking or anything. I'm being 100% truthful when I say he could be like really good.
Boof Solo.
Maybe that's the only reason why I'm considering. But in other weird news today, Aaron Paul, a la Jesse Pinkman, Instagrammed, and there's been a lot of rumors around his involvement with the new Star Wars movies.
Breaking Bad star who has not done anything worth watching since post Breaking Bad.
Oh, no, didn't you see Need for Speed? No.
He's a voice in BoJack Horseman,
pretty fun. He's housemate, BoJack's housemate. He got an official follow from the Star Wars official account today, and he just tweeted it, Instagrammed today and said, my dreams are coming true.
Do you reckon that means anything, though?
Like, Comic-Con's
coming up. It could
just
be that his mate started working for the marketing.
It could mean that. It could mean nothing. But it's kind of funny that they've announced this new movie. I mean, I can't see him.
If you follow me, I'll make a Vine for you where I call Darth Vader a bitch.
I mean, he could have a side role in it. I'm not too sure.
Jesse!
But it is kind of funny that, you know, it's been rumored for months and he got this
follow. How good would that Darth Vader? Jesse!
It could work. Look, as a Star Wars fanatic, I'm not going to...
Are you?
I don't want that.
Are you really?
I don't want a Breaking Bad reference. But yeah, you know, next episode...
You swear to me, under this American flag, which is for some reason hanging in your living room above your television...
I never forget.
Is that how you get around, like, your VPN rerouting?
I fear for, you know, all of our phones have cameras on them now. I'm like, if they're going to hack and see what VPN I'm using, at least they'll look in here and see... a Channing Tatum wall calendar next to an American flag above my television. And they go, yeah, it checks out, boss. This
when we start streaming for video for every episode of Hey
from
Fam.
Hey Fam Studios.
You'll be able to see the glory.
Hey Fam, it's Saturday. It's going to be our Saturday night variety shows.
Oh my God, we have to
do
hey
a live
fam
show.
It's Saturday.
Holy shit, that is definitely the name of our live show. And much like Hey, it's Saturday in the late years, it'll probably be on a Wednesday or something like that.
Oh, that's... fucking perfect.
All right, guys, you heard it here first.
You're going to hear a high five.
Whoa, wait, that was
a really good one. That was a shit high five.
All right, 1, 2, 3.
Fucking terrible. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Oh, I was
third time a charm. You heard it here first, guys. Episode 25.
Hey, hey fam. It's
Hey
Saturday.
Fam, it's Saturday. We're going to have live acts.
On a Wednesday night.
We're going to have celebrity heads. But it's going to be just characters from Ballers. Am I having a phone conversation in every episode? It's going to be the world's best.
We will play Pluck a Duck.
We are going to get the suit. I have access to the suit. I won't say how yet.
Angus, can we reveal a secret about you?
Yeah, you can say it now.
Yeah. Fam exclusive. We actually spoke about this at length.
In the first episode.
In the first episode that you then deleted. Which potentially because we spoke about this. So this episode might get deleted too.
It was a breach of, yeah. I think it was too much too soon.
Angus is the admin, the genius behind my favorite Facebook page, Plucker Duck Memes.
It's really esoteric.
It's basically a portal dedicated to a shit character from a shit show that won over maybe two hearts.
Yep. This is a character who, in a 90-minute variety show on Saturday nights, had maybe a two-minute segment, and he was silent. It was a man in a duck suit. But for some reason, it's resonated with so many people because they all have these childhood memories. Also, the absurdity of it.
He would give, they had a show and the music would start like, pluck a duck, pluck a duck.
And he'd run out. It was like the guy had literally done like a barrel of cocaine.
He'd run out in this duck suit with like these white gloves and throwing out shuckers to the crowd.
And he'd go up and like dry hump people in the audience.
Straight up.
He was like, it was like
6:30 p.m. on a Saturday night.
It was like when Jim Carrey put the mask on. That guy's life completely transformed. He would run out and just, and then he would, the main prize for some reason was always a Nissan Pulsar. And I'm not sure why that's funny, but it seems again to resonate.
It's just so another dated reference.
It's just dated, yeah, and yeah. So, but you've been the largest fan contributor without a doubt.
I've a lot of cool things have happened to me in the last few weeks. This is the first Hey Fam episode that we've recorded while not eating pizza.
Yep,
I wrote a pretty great article. All about the best pizza in Sydney.
Have a look on DJ Levin's Facebook page.
Or just go to the Sydney Morning Herald and
we'll go to the Sydney Morning
search
Herald.
Pizza.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that was a pretty good conquest.
It was great.
Pretty excited. But
there was one good comment though by a lady, an astute reader,
who said, was like,
"Pizza is pizza.
At the end of the day, pizza is just pizza.
Yuck." not your demographic.
Nothing beats Sydney Morning Herald comments. Actually, no. Comments anywhere on the internet are always.
Oh, they're the best.
Fantastic. But you know that was a pretty good get, a pretty good feeling. You know, my son started saying words. Pretty
amazing good feeling.
Great, yeah. Been a great couple of weeks. But nothing beat the incredible feeling that I got when a meme that I made for Plucker Duck Memes is the most liked meme in Plucker Duck Memes history.
The most liked meme in our history. Second, number two is a close second, and it was a Richie Beno one. It was the day when this meme that you made. And again, it was about pizza and you must have had pizza on the mind.
Yeah, I was straight up just
you sent it
pizza.
To me and I said, dude, that's the best one. And I caught it then. I'm like, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen. It was following this is, now we've reached the low point of episode 3. We're explaining memes to people. But you know, this
what
year,
if you explained what memes were in a Peter Griffin voice? A Stewie Griffin voice.
Now that's
perfect.
Funny. Yeah, now that's
that
funny.
That is around the clock.
Look, just
phone.
Go to Plucker Duck Memes and see what it is. But I must
say,
that
this became like less about me telling your secret that you run Plucker Duck Memes and became more about
how you
me,
made the best one.
How I made the funniest
but
one.
But guys, this is actually another exclusive. We may as well go 3 for 3. I've been getting a lot of interesting messages as the admin of Plucker Duck Memes.
Oh my god.
I've received this one
because
on...
yeah, like most people like the page because
they think
it's funny and weird.
Or... Oh yeah.
But then you have like a handful of people that actually think
I'd say 1 in 6 who... correspondents that I get are people who genuinely believe that I am Plucker Duck or the guy who played him, and I can kind of
one of the many. Was it a legacy?
There was two people.
There were two people that
there were two people. One did not return for the 2009 reboot, and
anyone,
I'm still not sure why. But
anyone, in the off chance that anyone from outside of Australia was listening to this episode, thanks for listening to the first 3 episodes of Hey Fam, and sorry we lost you forever.
Sorry we lost you, but hey, throw us a like and. But I got this
and
message
review entourage
up, and I won't
on
say
iTunes page.
Yeah, review entourage. I won't say who it's from, but it rhymes with Brett O. Mayan, and it says, "Hi, I'm just wondering, is it you, Mark?" So immediately I'm like, "Who's Mark?"
Hey,
and
Mark.
From memory, I know that one of the original Plucker Duck was Mark. And it says, "I was your trainer at the 1994 Adelaide celebrity race." Like, not even personal trainer. Not even your
What could you train Plucker Duck to do?
To do the celebrity race. Like, the guy has wearing flippers, essentially.
Maybe
he
was like,
run.
Like, you know how animals have trainers?
Yeah.
Maybe he thought
but
he was
a
real
celebrity
duck.
Race at Adelaide once. I mean, how... Like, how is this...
Maybe he was an actor who was playing Plucker Duck's trainer.
Yeah, maybe. And then he said, "So much fun and still have the little Plucker from the slalom." I don't know what that means. Plucker from the... down the front, straight for Hey Hey. Hope you're doing well, mate. And this is my favorite part. And have the hat you signed for me that says, fuck off, plucker. So I'm just, in a way, I'm so glad that correspondence happened.
Have you written back to him yet?
No, I'm just going to write, download Hey Fam, my new podcast. Just trying to get people.
Hey. Can you please write back to him? Like, hey, you're totally right. It is me. By the way, can you please send me a picture of the hat of
us,
I signed?
Of us.
Oh, that would be good too.
All right. Another Hey Fam exclusive. I'm going to be writing back.
Let's catfish this guy.
Let's do it.
Duck this
guy. We'll go duckfish him. Well, no, cowfish. No, because he's not a chicken.
Chicken or a cow.
So yeah, that's that amazing segue.
we'll give you Plucker Duck memes updates.
Yeah. We'll just follow the page. Yeah. Now that the secret's out. We're more comic. Yeah. How are you feeling about Han Solo? You down?
The movie? Yeah, I reckon that'll be fun. You've been reading the Han Solo comics, the Princess Leia comics,
the Star Wars.
Marvel now owns the comic license for Star Wars.
See, look,
putting out Star Wars comics.
Four years ago, I said goodbye to Star Wars. In 2005, I was like, okay, that was fun. And then I remember in 2012, the day it was announced that Lucas sold Star Wars to Disney. And it was like you found an ex-girlfriend coming back in your life.
But so you weren't like reading the Dark Horse Star Wars
I was such a snob.
Watching the Clones
TV Clone Wars show? Hadn't been declared as canon yet.
Oh.
And I was kind
of... You didn't count it or you didn't...
It wasn't declared. The only thing at that stage was still the six.
You were canon or nothing.
I was canon or nothing. Absolutely. I was an EU baby.
He has canon or nothing tattooed.
It's tattooed
his
on my forehead. It's like damaged. So how people know that I'm canon. And then when Disney announced the sale, I was like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm ready to get back into Star Wars again. I've said goodbye. It's kind of a part of my life.
What did you do when you said goodbye? Did you have like a ceremony?
Well, I remember seeing the third movie at the cinema and then came straight back home. I saw the midnight screen and watched 4, 5, and 6. And it just completed, in my mind, it completed the story. I was like, yeah, that story is over now. Said goodbye. And it was kind of always this part of my life. It was a big important. I mean, I worked on one of them, as you know. I had this huge, like, affinity with it, and I said goodbye, and it was good.
You can listen about
Angus, listen to my exploits.
There's another podcast that Angus was a part of
called Steel Wars. Saunders, a funny bro who also does I Love Green Guide Letters, but Steel Wars is great. I actually saw this week he's interviewing Darren, what's the guy, lead Oren. Singer
of Savage Garden?
Darren Hayes. So yeah,
why
I have no why did he interview
all
me
about...
Because he interviews celebrities who like Star Wars.
Oh, and just then who like Star Wars? Right.
Yeah, that's celebrities who have Star Wars things. And he was told by one of our friends, Tommy Dassilo, he's like, oh, you've got to do Angus. Because Tommy was staying with me for a while. He's like, he has insane entourage level stories about what he was doing on set. But that's another podcast.
Because when you were a kid, you were
15. Yeah,
you were 15
yeah.
And you worked on the second one?
The second one, yeah. So if you want to hear all about that and who I upskirted and all the really... possibly illegal things I did in that film. Listen to Hey Saunders, Steel Saunders, Steel Wars podcast. I was about 6 beers deep in it too in a public venue. So
perfect.
I think I was playing to the audience. You know, you read the crowd. You tell more upskirt jokes, the more laughs you get. It's basic science, baby. So I said goodbye. It was announced, and I kind of glad I didn't do any of the expanded universe because Disney have now declared that 25 years of video games, novels, especially novels, which some real butthurt people are real butthurt over.
But like what? Because those things are good. Like, I mean, something doesn't have to be canon to be appreciated.
But it's just, I kind of saw it wasting my time.
Really?
Well, I was just like...
Because I've read a lot of the Dark Horse Star Wars comics and like none of them are canon now, but they're really good stories.
Look, I was just kind of like, it's a waste of my time. At that stage, I was like, well, and people, this is why, because people would give Boba Fett in the book series a backstory, and then George Lucas, who makes the movie, so he's like, well, no, that's not what happened, and he would tell what actually, and it'd be like,
it's the nature of all this shit we like that there'll be different iterations of those characters.
Except
elsewhere.
When like the creator is
it's
still creating.
It's Elseworlds, dog.
Yeah, you know what? Well, now that's they're called Legends, so it's like Elseworlds, right. And I don't feel so bad about perhaps like dipping in and out. And I bought the huge hardcover Star Wars Marvel Volume 1, like the classic 70 years.
Is that one of those ginormous hardcovers?
Yeah, it's like fuck off big. It's like a yellow
really
pages.
Cool, and then you're like, wait a minute, how the fuck am I going
to
read
this?
Oh,
it's
this?
Like, I'm going to have to get the digital. I'll download illegally the digital ones because I've paid for it.
Like, and comics are great because they lend themselves to being read on the toilet really well.
Or on a train trip or something. You
and
know?
You can't... Yeah, sure. Or going to the toilet on a train.
Yeah.
But if you buy like an omnibus, which has like... 6,000 pages. It's just the most... It looks cool, but it's so inconvenient.
Oh, especially if you're reading in bed. It literally crushes your head. but now that this the whole new canon's coming along, you know, it's exciting. There's a group of 13 people who have to be across the stories for everything that they make now is reading, down from the video games all the way to the films, comics, whatever. And they all have to say yay or nay or no, this person can't be there because in this issue 4 of Lando, he's over here. And that, to me, it sounds like a culmination of the best things, my OCD and like my attention for detail and like my OCD. And I'm like, that sounds like the world's greatest job. And I really wanted Star Wars. If
you said
listening.
OCD twice.
Exactly. Because so the first time I didn't say it right.
All right.
I needed
course,
to say it perfect. Again because of my OCD.
A comic came out today from this is the last little Star Wars tidbit we'll use for
yeah.
today. But
yeah. Oh man, we've got years worth.
Years worth of episodes of Hey Fam.
Oh yeah, but if you read the Expanded Universe stuff, I'm sorry guys, it just doesn't count anymore.
Damn it. So I wasted like
oh no, this is what I was getting at. Sorry, I wanted to say, while there's been these anthology films announced, Han Solo, Death Star, one thing I'm slightly and not annoyed at, but their anthologies that we were told originally they're gonna be outside of the Skywalker saga. They're gonna be telling new stories about new characters. So far, they've been really rooted to, and it's kind of the same with these comics, this golden era of Star Wars set between episode 4 and 5, like, i.e. the classic Star Wars that they hope to get the old fans back with.
Sure.
So I'm like, I think it's a strategic reason that they're doing this,
mm.
but also I'm kind of like, I would love a story from the 1,000 years before the movies, like the Knights of the Old Republic, or, you know, just...
Is that canon? Is that shit canon?
That's not canon either.
Right, so...
But I'd like that to have, like...
It's dickheads like you who says that not canon shit isn't worth reading, that stops that from being a likely...
No, there is a reason, and I won't get on it here, but there's a saga in the books called the Yuuzhan Vong Saga or something like that, and it basically turns Star Wars into Star Trek, where they find out there's another dimension and aliens start invading the Star Wars galaxy.
Okay, right.
Yeah, and to me, nice. I'm like, no, that's not Star Wars. That's hard science
not
fiction.
Not my Star Wars.
It's not Star Wars. But yeah, I'm just kind of been a bit annoyed that... Not annoyed, but that you can tell they're playing it safe by going, who's the most loved Star Wars characters and what's the most loved era? Okay, cool. Boba Fett, Han Solo, and the original movies. Let's make spin-off movies around there.
It makes the most sense to make the most money. And then once everyone is...
I think once people are comfortable
Star Wars
too,
fever again, then hopefully they'll do something a bit
more. Yeah, I think once they're comfortable with the idea of these spin-off movies... But I just...
But it also is risky doing these, you know, legacy character movies. Because if you fuck it up,
that's
fucked up...
That's the other side of the coin. If you fuck up Han Solo, you fuck up Han Solo.
How good would it be if they were like, let's tell a really good Jar Jar Binks story?
It'd be amazing if
let's
you find out
make
he's actually this,
great
this like,
character.
Really, like... You don't know what happens to him after episode 3, and that's it. It's the last time. Wouldn't it be great if he becomes this, like, drug-riddled, like, crazy guy, and he's like, it's all my fault, and I don't know, there's potential. But yeah, the comics, again...
It's all my fault.
Seriously, Oscars, anyone? But the comics are out, Marvel's doing it, and again, they're all set during that sweet, sweet period. But a new one came out today, and... I don't think it's going to be a full run. It's going to be a 5-issue run from what I can tell.
Yeah, so far we've had the Star Wars main one written by Jason Aaron. Then we had Mark Waid doing Princess Leia, a series that's just finished, five issues.
And Darth Vader by Kieran Gillen. And they come, that is kind of published concurrently with Star Wars, and events that happen in one will affect the other. And it's cool. You'll get these awesome scenes from like Darth Vader's point of view in the Darth Vader one and his internal monologue, but then you'll read him in Star Wars and he's like his cinematic version. He's like this menacing guy in the background just crushing things. And you're like, oh shit, he's scary. But then you get this cool like spin.
Oh shit, he's damaged.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh man, he's damaged without having it on his head. Oh, that's right, he's just a burns victim. The tattoo probably came off.
And then, so those three are set in between...
4 and 5.
Episode 4 and 5. And then you have another one that they made set during
the Clone
Wars.
Yeah, Kanan the Last Padawan. And he's it's about the lead
who
character
wrote that
from...
One?
It's the showrunner for Rebels, who's also working on the
oh,
spin-off
cool.
movies.
Great.
Yeah, I don't know his name right now. I mean, he's not a usual, but he's nailing it. The art's terrific as well.
But today, just was the first issue of
Lando.
Lando, a cult favorite character. Oh. Second favorite after Boba Fett, right?
I'd say it's like Han, Boba, and Lando are just all in that holy trinity of...
of guys that you wish were your uncle.
And Lando, it's his second reappearance this year. He's actually in Rebels, and he's the Disney animated series, and that's set between 3 and 4, which is when I think this is set.
Yep,
they haven't really declared when. All you know is the Emperor does exist and the Empire is a threat. And it's Billy Dee Williams doing the voice for him in the animated show. And he does what you want. There's about 3 female lead characters in the show. In a 21 minutes show aimed at kids, he just tries to bang all 3 of them. And it's just awesome. You're like, yes, they get Lando. And it's cool to hear Billy Dee, you know. And it was weird because, you know, we saw all the Force Awakens stuff, but no one was like, oh, where's Lando? Where's Lando? Like, we're all like, where's Luke? Where's Han? And I'm so glad Lando's getting some mad treatment right now.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool.
And so the Lando comic is written by Charles Soule, who has done some great runs.
She-Hulk, which I really dug.
She-Hulk of Marvel and Swamp Thing for DC.
And he's about to take over Daredevil.
That's right.
And it's funny because She-Hulk was really law-based, legal-based.
And he is actually a lawyer.
He's an attorney.
And yeah, he's still practicing as well.
He's still practicing.
And while managing to write like 10 different comics. So,
and Matt Murdock now.
His self-published, or so it comes out through someone, called The Letter 33.
Is that good?
Letter 44, sorry. Yeah, that's really great too.
Is that an Image or something, or IDW or something?
It is an independent publisher, Omnipress, I think, maybe.
Yeah, right. Omnipress. But he's a lawyer and he's writing Lando, and it's just awesome. And from the
drawn by Alex Maleev, who is another really great artist.
What is this Maleev?
He's done lots of collaborations. So he drew a lot of Brian Bendis's Daredevil run.
Yeah, right.
And then
that was the run before Brubaker, before Wade.
Yep. But yeah, he's a great artist.
Is that when he went crazy? The whole Bendis run where his girlfriend was crazy?
I mean, Daredevil goes crazy in almost all every run before Wade. Like, you know,
before he gets rebooted,
all the horrible shit happening to him.
Except the Wade one, he's kind of been...
Well, no, it's the Wade run, which is about to end now before Charles Soule takes over, is really... It's like, what if Daredevil wasn't depressed all the time?
Yeah.
And if he just decided to try and be an cool, optimistic, good happy hero. Guy. And be more swashbuckling like it was meant to be. And it's been incredible.
It's such a good run.
A lot of pressure is on Charles Soule to do something new while not...
Well, he is, apparently. He's going to be working for the DA for once. So as opposed to... Because you know how one of the great things about Daredevil, the dichotomy was he'd be defending the criminals, which he was fighting at nighttime because he was a defense attorney. Now he works for the state of New York. Apparently he's like, this is what I'm changing. It's because I'm a lawyer and I want to do this. So he's actually working to get the guys he's fighting in jail, and he's actually enjoying... Matt Murdock is enjoying his lawyer job for once. He's like going against his day job. So I think that's going to add something.
And that will last for about 3 issues before they decide to kill everyone he knows.
Yeah, before he gets...
Because even Mark Waid's run has gotten quite dark now. Like, the stakes are really high as it wraps up.
Is he still in San Fran?
Yeah, and he's just about to make a deal with the Kingpin who hasn't been present in Mark Waid's run the whole time.
Yeah, right.
It was, man, there was this amazing... So spoiler, can I spoil a tiny
spoiler.
Bit?
I mean, I'm only up to issue 30-something, but I'm going to find out about this.
So if you care about a comic run that you should definitely read, I'm going to spoil a small amount of it. Daredevil is a blind superhero. Kingpin is his greatest foe ever. The stakes are so high against Daredevil that he goes to his greatest foe to make a deal with him.
Damn.
And he basically has this long conversation in this room. You can't see he goes to to Kingpin's house. You can't
see. Wait, is Kingpin in San Francisco?
Yeah, he's been, he got chased out of New York by Spider-Man after,
Spider Island.
After this, in the Superior Spider-Man run.
That's right. There was a whole ninja thing, wasn't there?
Yeah. But he's in San Fran. He goes to Kingpin's house, and Daredevil, they're in this room. You can't see what's on the walls. It's all dark. And he says basically, like, you know, he wants protection for everyone that he loves. And Kingpin's like, well, what can you offer me? And he's like, I can't think of anything that you offer me. And he's like, I can't offer you, you know, my idea. I can't. The only thing I have to offer you is the death of Matt Murdock. I will kill Matt Murdock for you so that Daredevil can live on. And I know that you must have, like, I know that that must be, like, you know, the death of Matt Murdock must be important to you. And then it, like, pans out and the room lights up, and the room, Kingpin's room, is just filled with artworks of him murdering Daredevil.
That's insane.
Yeah, so fantastic. Anyway, so
yeah, right.
Mark Waid's Daredevil run. I just spoiled a small amount of it for you, but like, hopefully that was enough to hook you. It's so such an incredibly great run.
But yeah, Shul, how do you say it? Charles Soule.
He's the next guy to take over Daredevil. Hopefully, do something incredible with it. But he has done something really great with Lando Calrissian.
You haven't read any of the Star Wars comics yet, have you?
I've read the first one or two issues of Jason Aaron's run of the Star Wars thing. I think I wanted to steal them off you or something.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
It was at a time where I was sick of giving Marvel too much of my money, so I tapped out. But I bought the issue one of Lando today.
Oh,
I love that creative team.
And for Lobot fans out there, Lobot's in there. You know, the creepy bald guy who doesn't say anything in Empire Strikes Back, but he reacts to Lando's commands. And he's actually cool in it. You find out why he's got that big ass thing on his head. It's really good. It's the first canon explanation for it, let me tell you now.
That's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm really looking forward to it.
And like, you know, it's like a heist comic.
It's like an art heist comic. Yeah. I mean, you found, you know, the thing with like Han and Lando, you always heard that, oh, these guys are smugglers, they're swindlers, and you never really saw it in the movies. They were becoming rebels and fighters for this greater cause.
Yeah.
But you actually, this is like in the heart of their smuggling days. And it's kind of like the Depression era, you know, the Empire is rife, it's everywhere. And these are like the young kind of dudes trying to turn a few bucks in it. And he's super suave. There's this great part and I loved it. And Lobot, his pal's like, well, why can't we just go in and blast that guy? And he's like, blasters are for like, that's an easy way out. He's like, I like to use this as my weapon, like his personality. And I'm like, that's so cool. Like, that's Lando. And you get hints of that in Empire and stuff. But you're like, yeah, you're really getting this Lando. And like, you see how important and how different too for Star Wars. Like, he's the first African-American character in any of the Star Wars saga. He's the first one you see. And he's just got this great personality. He meant a lot. And it's so cool. They're like giving him this really cool service.
Yeah. And hopefully they give a lot more of the series to lesser known characters in the Star Wars universe, because I feel like you can do a lot more exciting things to them and with them, and you can still,
we don't know a lot about the lesser ones too, so there are cooler things can happen, whereas we kind of know a lot. There's a lot of like blanks to be filled in for the lesser ones, where your Skywalkers and everything, we know kind of roughly where they were.
You can still tell like an interesting story, but the stakes aren't very high.
Totally, because we know where they end up. But yeah, the Lando one, it basically, again, a spoiler, like he's stolen art from someone really important. And you just like, oh,
and
shit.
The whole setup of he pretty much lets the person know that he's stealing it. And
yeah,
it's just the best.
It's awesome. And last frame,
and everyone refers to everybody as, you know, my good friend, my pal, my pal. Yeah,
yeah. And the last frame is just awesome. You're just like, oh shit, yeah, he's fucked.
An excellent comic book cliffhanger.
Yeah, four more issues. I'm pumped. It's probably at the moment, not besides Vader, I think the best of the Star Wars ones.
Yeah, and I think a really good jumping on point for anyone that wants to dip their toes in.
If you kind of like the older movies and you're like, oh, I don't really like the fact Disney and Marvel, like, read this and you'll just see. I mean, if that's any indication of what these new ones are going to be like, I'm on board.
You were already on board, get up.
Yeah, they had my money years ago. Hey, so you came over tonight where we're recording in Hey Fam Studios and you played the new Batman, the game that we spoke about last week.
Yeah, you gave me a PlayStation 4 controller, but then you put an episode of Entourage on and you were like, yeah, this is Batman.
I watched Entourage on my iPhone.
This is Arkham Knight.
I'm giving you 27 minutes.
No, I finally, we talked about it a little bit last week, but I finally got to play as the Bat Tank. Shoot some drones.
Controversial. A lot of people are either loving or hating the Bat Tank.
I listened to the latest episode of the Indoor Kids podcast today.
Shout outs to Camille Nanjiani
and Emily Gordon, they were interviewing Pete Holmes, another comedian.
Yep.
They were talking about how much they love Arkham Knight. It was pretty much an entire episode about Arkham Knight.
Yeah, right.
And I thought it was really funny that because they talk about other comedians and comedians' relationships with video games.
Yeah, it's a great podcast.
I mean, the whole point of us starting Hey Fam is about, you know.
We're going to start bringing on, you know, we'll chat to people and what they love and each other.
Who love video games that aren't people that just identify themselves as a gamer.
Yeah.
But I love hearing, so basically they talk about they're talking about the tank and then they're like, oh, Paul F. Tompkins called me last week because he is a massive fan of the Batman games, but he really hated the Batmobile.
In the game,
And he couldn't get around it. Like, he couldn't get his head around it. And so they had to, like, sit down and explain to him, like, you know, I guess, like, the mechanics of it and blah, blah.
So he'd be a shit superhero.
Now he's really on board.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is hard. I mean, it kind of switches between a really fucking fast tank car. And I love the way the environment reacts. Like, if you slam into a bridge, the bottom of that bridge will start like breaking, and like nothing's kind of like, you don't clip, like you actually just drive through things. But the other thing is it goes into like tank mode, and you pretty much turn to like a tank in my mind and a crab, because you can crawl kind of on the x-axis and y-axis, and it's just I'll say it again, it's my favorite iteration of the Batmobile I've seen. It's functional, it looks cool, it has like cool looks to it.
It has
infinite ammo, and he doesn't kill anybody, guys. It's drones.
It's just drones. But what'd you think? Over it. It's just the drones from Melbourne.
Yeah, it's just the drones. Oh man, they need the press.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. So I've been debating whether I should buy a PS4. I've been a Nintendo boy the last few years. I have a PS3, and actually,
what made you get the PS3?
We spoke about it earlier. They announced a Scott Pilgrim arcade game.
Oh my god!
And at the time, I only had a Wii.
I remember this.
I had a PS2.
It was a PSN exclusive. You couldn't get on Xbox
right away
store or anything. They had like the 1 year lead. It was to coincide with the film. But the difference was Brian Lee O'Malley had also written the game, and it was like beautifully designed. Who's the art?
It was like a beat 'em up scroller.
But who did the art? It was Paul. I forget his name.
He's a Melbourne dude, the guy who does all that fantastic pixel
8-bit and 16-bit stuff. Yeah. And it was an awesome game.
So good. I still haven't finished it properly.
I finished it. I got the Power of Love, like the final sword, and it's fucking sick.
Yes, yeah, so I bought a $500-$600 game console just for a $15 download game.
And wasn't it worth it?
It was worth it. I bought a shitload of games with PS3, and you know, I have a 3D Blu-ray player with my 3D TV.
You do? Yeah, that's right.
Watch cool movies, but with the couch dragged 1 meter away from the television. Was this your Scott Pilgrim moment? What's that?
Was Arkham Knight your Scott Pilgrim moment?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it just... I guess the PS4 launched tonight, and there were a few things I was like, oh yeah, I should, you know, I'd like to play that, but... Between this and what was another recent game that you guys were fucking wanking on?
Oh, Witcher.
I'm not going to play Witcher.
You're not going to play Witcher.
I don't need to see.
There's a lot of good. I mean,
rape ghosts.
There's a lot of good stuff coming out. I mean, you've got like Last Guardian. You got like, you know, The Horizon.
Last Guardian.
Uncharted 4.
And I really want to Uncharted 4. And I really want to replay Grim Fandango.
Oh yeah, Grim HD. I've got that there waiting to go.
One of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah, I can't wait. And it's been
which I stole off a family friend and played on my PC.
But hey, fam.
Yeah.
Hey fam, we're all fam here.
It's true.
Yeah, man.
Apologies to the Greaves family. I stole your copy of Grim Fandango in 1998.
Damn. I think it's almost yours. Isn't possession? Like, isn't it yours now, essentially?
Yeah, I still have it, I think.
You've owned it longer.
Actually, you know what? I think I gave it to my friend Alex Tollett. So,
Tollett, holy shit. You've been named.
Greaves, if you want to go find him.
Yeah,
you have to go find him.
Well, if you've stolen anything off somebody and you want to pass the buck, just let us know on our Facebook
page.
Just
give it to Tullet. Blame Tullet.
Yeah, blame Tullet. That can be a new segment. Blame Tullet.
Blame Tullet. Tullet, Sydney's number one Minion fan.
Really? Is that official? Has he got it on his forehead? Is that how we know?
Yeah. He's been drawing his own hentai, Minion hentai.
So that'll be...
Like all good Australians should.
Yeah. Stand up, Australia. Draw some Minion hentai.
Where do you stand on the on Minions?
I haven't seen any of
the Despicable Me movies.
Haven't seen, all I know
it's
is
crazy how well regarded they are by people that I like.
Oh, totally. It's also
people I hate love it too.
I find it very hard to separate. Man, there were parts of, you know, I really dug the Neptunes and a lot of NERD and the fact that like Pharrell's career is now based around a song he wrote for that movie.
Oh yeah, of course.
I just cannot separate that, and I'm kind of like, oh yeah, that's the song Pharrell like destroyed us.
A friend of ours, Nina, who DJs as Nina Las Vegas,
she performed with him.
Yeah, right? She played with him at a
Perth Festival.
Opened for him at a stage at Perth, and he played. This is Pharrell Williams, who has produced and lent his voice to hundreds of my like the most
amazing
well-known
songs.
R&B and rap
the
and
first
pop
NERD
hits.
Record too, it's such a, it's just like, oh yeah. Shit.
He has weeks of songs that he could choose from, yeah. And he did a 45-minute set.
How many times did he play
Happy? In
which
he played Happy 3 times.
Oh great.
Fuck you, Minions.
And then a couple of Daft Punk songs, which
really
more than likely. Yeah, sure. I mean, this renaissance period of Pharrell, I mean, the skin grafting to get rid of the tattoos, you know, it's just kind of like, who is this man?
And is it true that the big bad guy at the end of Arkham Knight is a Minion?
You find it, it's a Scooby-Doo sitch.
Arkham Knight takes his mask off.
He takes his bat-style high-tech mask off, and it's one of those goofy Minions, and you're like, oh, God, love him.
Oh, you fucking Minion.
Minions, wow.
Bat Minion.
I heard somewhere, I was reading, I don't know why, but I was reading today, someone was really angry and there was a conspiracy theory that the Rabbids from Raymond Rabbids, someone's like, Minions, rip this off. And I'm like,
I believe it.
Wow. That's something. That's a scratch. That's an itch I'm going to scratch deeper and get to the bottom of.
Give yourself some more money.
That's yeah. Wow. They need it. They only.
Have you ever played a Rabbids game?
No, but an ex-girlfriend of mine, when I had my original Wii, that was her game.
Right.
She went and bought that specifically. And I mean, what was it? Kind of a bit like a WarioWare versus Mario Party type of vibe.
But don't they have like a ties to the Rayman franchise?
There's spin-off characters from Rayman.
Right, but
yeah.
I've played all the Rayman games. I don't remember Rabbids being in it.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like...
maybe they're in the 3D Rayman.
I think it's a case of Metroid Soccer. Seriously, I think it's a case of we're going to whack a famous IP name on this so you can buy it and let your ex-girlfriends buy it.
Shouts to girls, girlfriend mode on video games.
Shouts to... No, I don't know that
Shouts
mode.
To like, all the girls that I know in my life that are infinitely better at video games than me.
Yeah.
But
also shout-outs to us to show just how equal I am, that I don't dumb myself down when I verse them in Mario Kart and flog them most of the time.
Ooh, fighting words.
No, it's just like, come on, man. We're all equal here. We're all gamers.
We are going to leave it at there, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe next week I'll have a PS4.
Maybe. Wow.
It's my wife's birthday this weekend. Maybe I should buy myself a
PS4.
This is
a Homer bowling ball moment. This is your moment.
What would a minion do? Everyone knows that a good minion would follow us.
A good minion? Well, that's what minions do.
That's right. They follow you on Facebook.
You can find us on facebook.com/HeyFamPodcast or just type in Hey Fam. It's going to pop up. Someone that looks like the Hey Dad logo, you dickhead.
Yeah. Everyone gets the reference.
Or if you want to get more personal and you don't want the other people to see what you're posting on our wall, you can email us at heyfampodcast@gmail.com. I check it, so it actually, you know.
How many emails have we got so far?
None.
Cool.
Just you've set up your Facebook page, you've set up this, and I have a feeling we're going to be getting some more soon.
You know what I find really helps is if you send yourself an email with the subject line testing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll write back testing and all lowercase, right?
Just to make sure that it's working.
All right, I'll do that. That'll be the first thing I get.
And then, maybe hi, Angus.
It's you.
In the body.
Really awkward. It's you perfect. From Angus. You should get back to work.
If I want to follow the real you on Instagram, it's Chimichangas.
Chimichangas,
right?
Yeah. Just classic photos. No plucker duck memes. Again, I don't want people to know it's me too much. But this is an inside, hey fam. You know, this is between family.
And
we can find you at Lev Daug.
Yes, that's right. On
D-A-W-G.
Twitter, Instagram,
and
Facebook.
Also, take a few minutes, be creative. We're going to actually maybe give out some prizes.
Yeah, please go to Hey Fam on iTunes. Leave us a review, but don't review us. Review your favorite episode of Entourage that doesn't even exist yet. That's right. We want you to pitch an episode of Entourage as a review.
We'll be ready to go, hang on, Ari was never in a foursome. That's right, because you're coming up with a fan version.
Yeah, so people will be like, oh, I wonder what this new and noteworthy podcast is all about. Mm-hmm. And it's just these bizarre, like, turtle grows a dick on his face.
Our goal both is a shared goal. When we're going to go through some crazy guests. We're speaking Russell Brands, we're speaking The Rock, but we really, really, really want Jeremy Piven on here. And that'll be our last episode.
Yeah.
It could be episode 16. It could be episode 416.
Just one of Jeremy Piven's hair pieces.
Just one of them. Might even change the artwork. But yeah, write it on there. We want to get the eyes of the guys. Well, thanks for joining us on game night. We know it was a big night for the big game.
Oh, such a big game. And as always, you can find Hey Fam and other fantastic original content on HBO Go.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.